Hello. Ah, now that I've got your attention, I'd like a quick word about how Cambridge 105 Radio is funded. Our job is to give a voice to those groups who may not otherwise be heard. That may be our support for local music or the charity of the month. You're wanting to know how you can help, aren't you? Well, you can support our advertisers. And when you use their services, say you heard about them on Cambridge 105 Radio. And you can make a donation. It all goes towards our upkeep. We're eco-friendly, but we do have a bit of an electricity bill. Visit cambridge105.co.uk and click on the donate button. And thank you for listening.
My pleasure to welcome into the studio this afternoon Angela Hunt and Alison Kindred-Byrne. Now, you're from To The Moon and Back Foster Care. We hear the adverts, and Angela, you're the voice of the company.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Ah, you're doing just fine. And Jocasta Webb. Now, Jocasta, you're working with these guys, so we'll...
That's right. I'm a freelance consultant psychotherapist, and I'll be helping... working with some of the social workers and foster carers, because a lot of the children who will be foster cared will have traumatic experiences in their past.
I can imagine. Now, Alison, you've been on talking to Lee Chambers in the past, but just remind us, ladies, what is it about To The Moon and Back? How did you all get involved? Because you've kind of got quite a history of adult care, social care behind you. What brought you into business together?
Well, I've been a social worker in fostering for many years. So I'd been working as a social worker, a manager, and then a freelance social worker. And Angela and I met working together in a previous fostering agency. We love working together. We hit it off. And we just felt we could do something really special and started working together on To The Moon and Back. And okay. Here we are a couple of years later.
And why Cambridge?
Good question. Cambridge, we knew from where we'd worked before that there was a great demand. So it's about 90 children per day come into care through England and Wales.
Right.
And Cambridge, as a ratio, is exactly the same. And there's approximately between 30 and 40% of children in care in Cambridge have to actually be moved outside of the area due to a lack of foster carers within the Cambridgeshire area itself. So we knew there was a demand here, and consequently, when we decided we wanted to set up the agency, we knew that we'd want to start in Cambridge itself.
OK. Now, traditionally, to my mind, for people who look at foster care, so perhaps people who look at becoming foster carers, so people who've had children before, maybe. Give me the profile of somebody who might be a fosterer nowadays.
I think all sorts of people come forward to foster. So some of our families might be a couple whose children have moved out, gone on to adulthood, university. We have single parents. We have people from the LGBT community who also bring massive skills. There's no one size fits all. Mm. Our children come from really diverse backgrounds, and we want families who represent that diversity. So whether you are a homeowner, in rented, what you need to have is compassion, kindness, spare bedroom, and some emotional capacity to help kids who've had a really tough start.
Okay, now explain the difference to me. It sounds very layman terms between adoption and fostering in terms of the parent, in terms of the people involved.
Sure. So adoption are children who are never going to be able to be returned back to their birth family, and people come forward to adopt a child, and that child legally becomes their child. So they become legally mum and dad, and the child comes out of the care system. So for those people who come forward to foster, it's children who maybe short-term can't live with their parents, they may be long-term until adulthood, but they're likely to remain some connection with their birth family, and they are just not able to be parented in that family. So we need families who can do that while acknowledging the birth family is still going to be involved.
So is that, presumably, a slightly different set of skills then, really, between someone who would want to adopt a child and someone who might look to foster?
Sure. We know it is a caring role using many of the parenting skills, but it's also a career, one where there is allowances, because the children have had very difficult experiences and they've still got other professionals involved in the child. So you're part of a team as a foster carer, or as an adopter, you are the parents.
I was going to say, the whole thing which I'm getting from this, as you say, is that some of these children can have had some quite difficult times, have been through some trauma. You've got this thing coming up, conference coming up, where you talk about all this, and obviously we've got Jocasta in as well to talk about this. Is that one of the things that concerns people, that they're going to become foster parents and they're going to have to do all this on their own?
Yeah.
Do you think people are sort of not aware that there is this whole framework standing around them?
I think One of the things that we wanted to do right from the outset was, particularly as a result of what Alison's, how she trained to be a social worker, was very much about therapeutic approaches to care, which is about actually understanding exactly what the child has gone through in the past and enabling them individually with a holistic package. So it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of service. Mm. And there's some fantastic agencies that do purely therapeutic types fostering, but what we wanted to do was actually make it our baseline. So we think that foster carers should have a real understanding of what kind of trauma the children will have gone through and how to support that child in that individualised trauma.
Well, because I guess, in a way, the parents, the fosterers who are coming in on this, what you're really looking for, I guess, in an ideal world, is people who've had a stable background and exactly the opposite of what these kids have gone through. And it must be quite a trick to actually understand and empathise with them.
Absolutely.
At difficult. So they do need that training because you want the stability, but actually they're going to have to deal with things that they've never experienced themselves.
The empathy is very important. And because we're fortunate to have not actually had to go through what they've gone through, I don't think many of us can actually really understand what they've gone through unless you've gone through it yourself. So the way that we would put our training packages together is to enable them to have a really good insight into what that child has really gone through. And you can only do that, I think, by actually putting something very special together for that person and enabling them to develop as a result. Because people go into foster care, and as soon as they become approved, that's when the magic starts, really. They build experience. But if you can give them really good tools to be able to deal with some of the things that they might arise as a result of looking after somebody who's actually been abused or has experienced neglect, then that child is going to have a much more stable environment because you can listen to them, you can help them, you can help them overcome what they've been facing, and eventually with good loving care take them on to the next stage of their lives and they can recover and build resilience.
You do need, I'm guessing, even with all this support around you, you do need a tremendous amount of willpower, strength and inner strength and resolve to do this. And a friend of mine, actually, I think I've mentioned to you before, Angela, has done this, and he took on a young lad, I say young, 7 I think he was at the time, was still in nappies and was not communicating. And everyone said, yeah, well, the trouble is, the thing is, he's autistic. Mm. But his mother was a drug addict, recovering drug addict. The father had died from an overdose. And this kid had been with them for about 5-6 months. And I jumped around and said, this child's not autistic. He's feral. Mm. He's just never had anybody talk to him, never. And it was, but I mean, real, real difficult times when a child who can't communicate, who's 7 years old, the frustration that's within a child like that must be awful to have to deal with. And you must be quite strong to get through that.
Absolutely. And I think it's also about using your support system. We have a very firm belief that it takes a village to raise a child. And part of that ethos is about using the people in the agency. We've got ourselves as social workers. We've got Jocasta as a psychotherapist. We provide some of that support so foster carers can manage those issues. Some carers may come with having had some of those traumatic experiences themselves and have worked through it. So it's really important, whether you've experienced abuse yourself or whether you've come from a great background, that you've got people you can turn to. We expect our carers to be able to say, this is really tough, and to be able to cry on our shoulders and to get some of that space to look after themselves as well.
It's really reassuring, isn't it? Let's turn to you, Jocasta. So come on an average day then, what sort of challenges do you face?
Gosh, there's a question. I just wanted to say, actually, that whilst we're on the subject of talking about the skills required from a foster carer, you talked about coming from a stable background, so then therefore you're able to offer stability to a child who comes from a different kind of background. And actually, it's not so much about having a stable background or coming from some kind of perfect family or
side. Right.
It's about having the awareness to reflect on what you've been through and to make sure you know what's your stuff and what belongs to the child who comes to you.
So to an extent, almost what you're saying is a little bit of experience wouldn't have done you any harm. It's going to make
it... As long as you know what's yours and you can separate what's yours from what's the child's who's come to you, then it can be a benefit. It can hold you back if you're not aware of it, but it can be a benefit too. So you don't have to come from a perfect, stable family background in order to be able to be a good foster carer.
Okay.
It's all about awareness and reflection.
So looking at somebody, what sort of age are we talking at to start with here? I know this is a big pot.
In respect of
the children that are being fostered. Yeah. I mean, I'm presuming whenever it comes to adoption, everyone wants a baby, don't they?
Yeah.
But what happens to foster children? What sort of age do they start being fostered?
Right from birth. I mean,
right.
we cater for parent and child. So often young people who have been in care might present with being pregnant. It's more common than you think. And we would take that child, because they're still considered a child and they might just be an early teenager, for example, with a baby. So the package is the mother of the baby, or sometimes the father, but generally the mother and the baby will come along. And as a foster carer, we actually nurture the mother to become a better mother.
Right.
So we then have to support the baby as well. Although our job is not to actually look after the baby, it's to help the young mother look after the baby. But invariably, you'll have a baby from, you know, from birth come to you potentially. So and children are taken into foster care that young as well. So it's not uncommon. I think from our point of view, it can be any age, up to 18. That come into our care.
Right. Are there weak points though throughout a child's development? Are there pressure points where this can happen, like becoming a teenager, things like that?
Yeah, we know children come into care at all ages. We know the real shortage are for children who are part of sibling groups.
Right.
So being able to provide families where they can take 2, 3, 4 potentially bigger families to keep children together. We also know there's a real shortage of people who can take teenagers.
Mm.
I think sometimes people feel very scared by teenagers, but actually, we've all been teenagers, and actually they're not as scary as people think they're going to be. So there's a real shortage of people who can take on the teenagers. So we get all ages, but particularly school-aged children, we're looking for people who can take...
If you have sibling groups, can you sort of split them across locally sourced? Yeah, could you keep them within a group of fosterers? So could they all be within a couple of streets of each other if you can't get them into one particular house? Is that...
Absolutely. We know some children might come into care who have come from a family of 8 siblings. There's not many people who could take that whole 8 sibling group. So you would want to try and find people who could then manage the contact and keep those children in contact with each other, and all of them get individual really good care.
Okay, now you've got a seminar coming up on this. We'll talk about that in just a second, if you're okay to stay with us. It's 19 minutes now before 3 o'clock. But right now, I've still got my guests in the studio, Angela Hunt and Alison Kindred Byrne from To The Moon and Back. See what we did there with Savage Garden. I would just like to point out that was not my idea. Andrew Castor-Webb, who works independently with them. So we've got an event coming up for people who want to find out some more. This is one of a series of seminars you've been running. This is the second one. Tell us about the first one. Tell us about the one you've got coming up.
It's something that's really important to us. So when we started To The Moon and Back, we said we wanted to regularly run seminars that were for the people within our organisation, but open to local organisations as well, who may work with similar issues. So our first seminar was over in November, and we focused specifically on child sexual exploitation and the trauma as a result of that. And we had such a great response. We showed a groundbreaking film called Recalled Resilience, which looks at some of the science of the impact of early childhood resilience. And we had an amazing international presenter, Lisa Cherry, who came and supported us. She's been a great supporter of To The Moon and Back. And so for this conference, we invited Lisa back. We listened to the feedback from those attending who said they would like to know more about the research around early trauma, and particularly really valued Lisa's input. I think one of the great things is Lisa is an expert, but she's also a care leaver. So she came with her own history and experience and showed the recovery is possible.
There's more of it around than we realise, isn't there?
Absolutely.
That is the trick. When you hear people's stories, when you talk to people a little bit more in depth, there's more and more of it coming up. OK, so the event takes place when and where?
It takes place on Thursday, the 19th of April, at our office space. We've got a conference at Alia Future Business Centre on King's Hedges Road.
Okay.
We've got facilities to take about 60 people. Currently, we've made a few more tickets available because they're quite popular, so we've made a few more available. And we've got a few concessions, so if people are interested, they can actually go for as little as £49.10. The 10 pence is very important.
Isn't it, just? They all
tickets,
up.
The tickets are through Eventbrite, and they can get a link from our Facebook, which is at Moon and Back Fostering, or they can go onto our website, and there's a link on our website, which is moonandbackfostering.com.
Okay.
But the actual particular feedback we had from last time was that it was amazing value for money, and we actually put our neck out last time in showing the film and bringing it to Cambridge. We were one of the first people to show it in Cambridge, and we might show it again if we thought that demand was there. But it's so important. The research indicates just how important this is to our public health as well. So it's not just for children who are in trauma that we're actually wanting to talk to. We're wanting people who are involved in anybody who might have come across trauma. It's a really, really vital piece.
Well, you hear about these events in Rochdale. We've heard about this sort of endemic problem in football and things like that. It seems to all be coming out the woodwork now, and I don't know whether it's social media or the fact that people now feel they can talk about these things, but it's more endemic and more widespread than we ever thought, isn't it? I mean, I know they sort of talk about Victorian times, but it looks like nothing's changed, really, does it, in so many ways?
Yeah, I think from our point of view, it's taking a lid off some of the conversations that weren't being had before. And we were really lucky to work with an organisation locally based called Link to Change, who are a charity who dealt specifically with child sexual exploitation across Cambridgeshire. And I love them so much that I'm now a trustee for them.
Right.
Because they do such amazing things. They're one of the best kept secrets, I think, in Cambridgeshire. I'm giving them a plug today as well, because it's... I think that started our work around looking at trauma and young people and the impact it has on adult wellbeing as well. And one of our big features of how we want to run our agencies around wellbeing. So the actual trauma conference is also about looking after yourself, because secondary trauma is often experienced by people who care for people who are going through trauma.
All those memories come back up. They thought they'd fixed it, and it takes them back down that same road again.
They become affected by it. And part of the conference is about looking after you. How do we help you to look after you? And that's, I think, it's attracted quite a lot of professional people who are saying, oh yeah, we could do with a little piece of that. So I'm excited that we've got a new audience, I think, for this particular conference, which last time we had quite a specific genre of people. We've opened up to housing, wanted people working in housing, YMCA, there's quite a few people wanting to come. So it's going to be an exciting day. Definitely worth the value.
So that's this coming Thursday. Gets underway when?
It starts at, the registration's from half nine, but it starts at 10. We finished about 4 o'clock.
Okay, lovely. All right, that's very good. And Jocasta, busy times for you, I guess, as well, with all this stuff coming out the woodwork. Your services must be in demand all the time.
Well, yes. Yes, as you say, it's coming out all over the place, and there aren't many really walks of life that aren't impacted upon by trauma. A lot of my work is in, as well as with children in care, and all kinds of abusive trauma that they may have experienced, but also homicide and terrorist attacks and all kinds of things. Yeah, it's a big hot topic.
Okay.
It's great that we're focusing on it in this organisation.
It is. Now, if people are thinking, do you know what, I've never really considered this, but I'd like to find out a little bit more about being a fosterer. First of all, in an ideal world, how many people would you be looking for right now in Cambridge to do fostering? How short are we?
I think we need about 70 new foster carers. 70 foster carers.
Good Lord.
So ring now. You know, it's a collective effort. You know, we also see ourselves as partners working with the local authority as well, because the local authority historically have been the ones that have actually recruited foster carers. We're all in this together, and it's vital if we're going to keep people who need care in Cambridgeshire. We need a significant number of people to come forward and stay local.
If people want to get in touch, and if you're driving along the A14 right now thinking, hang on a minute, I haven't got a pen and paper, don't worry, just send a text if you like, or when you get home, send an email to the studio@cambridge105.co.uk or 07919 070490. If you text us through, we'll send you back the details of how you can get in touch with Angela or Alison. Ladies, thank you very much indeed. That's Angela Hunt, Alison Kindred-Byrne from To The Moon and Back Foster Care, and Jocasta Webb. Thank you very much indeed. Good luck with the event next Thursday.